This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
The Guardian Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk about the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, and still self-isolating co-host, Monica.
Hi. Hi, Amanda.
How's it going?
All good in the hood. Isolating hood, I would say.
Yeah.
You too, though. You too.
Me too, yeah. We've been in the house for almost a month now.
Yeah. Hashtag facts.
Yep.
We bought some groceries yesterday, so I at least can't. I mean, I was driving. That was all I did because I'm not allowed to go into the shops when it comes to my weirdo boyfriend, which is great because then he has to do the shopping. Sucks to be him. Sucks to be the healthiest in this household.
It's true.
But yeah, I mean, to be fair, we did click and collect, so we just chose everything online and he just had to go in, pick it up and leave again.
So much better, right?
Yeah, that's pretty nice. They are totally overwhelmed though. They're like, how does it work? Well, you pick our groceries and we pick him up. That's how it works. Anyway, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing really good. Yeah, nothing to report in, just same
thriving
old.
In isolation.
Thriving, all that jazz.
Very convincing.
I don't know. I feel so weird. Like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing going on. Maybe one day I'll get around to trimming my bamboo so it's healthy again. Maybe I'll do that today.
Yep. Good idea.
Thanks.
We need to definitely clean the house and shit, but so much really work still. Course. So much work.
I know. I'm like, I wish that I could be cleaning the house more, but literally I'm just working the same amount that I have been working.
Yeah. No slowing down for us here.
No, still no. Which is good. Like, yay, thanks.
Yay, thanks. Yeah, thanks, universe, that we can still make money while others unfortunately can't. But yeah. We are here for fun stuff today.
We sure are.
What are we going to talk about? Tell them. Let them know.
Can I let them know? Can I tell them?
Tell them now.
We're going to geek out about sex education.
Yay!
Yay!
And I mean not general sex education. We talk about the Netflix show.
Which is the best show ever.
Yeah, ish. Yeah, kind of. I mean, yes.
Like, seriously, it's so good. Okay, it's not like Buffy and it's not like Grey's Anatomy, but like, honestly, it's the best show ever.
Yeah, I think it has some... It has so much depth in it for an audience that I think really needs it now. That's why I think it's so great.
Same. I think that, like, yes, it's maybe geared towards teenagers, but even adults, I think, will get a lot out of it.
Dude, I learned shit, I tell you that. I mean, there are things about, let's get to that. Seems like I have no idea about sex, but probably I don't. Maybe I don't. I can't know about every sex situation for every gender, for every sexuality, for every whatsoever. So that was really enlightening for me in some areas.
Yeah, no, it talked about so much, brought up so much, and it's just such a Generation Z miasma of amazingness. Like,
I like
it. So good.
That should be part of whenever a trailer comes up somewhere. You know, like it happens in the books when you hear somebody said something about something. I think that should come up the Gen Z miasma of everything should always come up when they this when they promote the show. Amanda Sloan should be written underneath it.
Sure. I'll submit it to the reviewing committee.
Amazing. I love it. Yeah. So
season two is out and Monica and I have just finished it.
I finished it a while ago, but yes, we finished it.
We finished it.
To be fair, if I have blanks, that's the reason, because I finished it a while ago.
See, this was like when we talked about The Witcher. You're me and I'm you.
Yeah. Perfect. Again, that took me a while to realize what you were talking about. No, but I gave it.
How long ago did it come out? Because I thought that I knew that I was a few weeks late, but I didn't think that I was like crazy late.
Oh, January.
Wow, really? That long ago?
Yep. January 17th.
Amazing. Cool. So that happened. That came out a little bit longer ago than I thought it did, but this whole year has been kind of a blur for me so far.
That is very true.
So like January 17th wasn't yesterday.
That reminds me of that Facebook post Facebook story that I saw recently, made me laugh, but now I don't remember what it said, obviously.
Cool story, bro.
Hang on. So I found a Facebook story I found an Instagram story when I was scrolling through Instagram like you do. And it said, for those of you who have lost track, today is Blursday, the 14th of April. It still cracks me up when I read that. And that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
I can't even imagine that we're already a week in April. Like, what Seriously, the fuck, man?
I don't know. This is like, what?
Yeah, what?
What?
True.
And like, let's just say that like my birthday is tomorrow by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah. But I don't congratulate in advance, so...
No, but, like, when you're listening to this episode, like, just tweet me and be like, happy birthday, Amanda!
But don't tomorrow.
Anyways, so...
Sex education. Sex topic education. Of today.
It is, and it's great.
I mean, a little intro to those of you who haven't watched it. Basically, it starts with season one, series two. So much in-depth knowledge about the series, eh? And we follow along a teenage boy that's called Otis, or Otis, whatever you pronounce him.
Otis, yeah.
And it's not the dog from Garfield. Oh my god, they are going low today.
That's not
today.
Even Otis, that's Odie.
Oh, same old, same old. Oh, wow. And you basically follow him around in school and all the peers obviously are his age around, so what, 15, 16-ish, I guess.
Yeah, that.
And in the first season, Otis' mother is a sex therapist. So, I mean, she's also a sex therapist in the second season, but... and it turns out that while they have a very open, like, very talkative relationship about sex, and she always tries to speak with him about his issues, he has issues masturbating and he's basically a bit grossed out by that by himself, mm-hmm. in a weird way, whatever. And in school, they obviously everybody, I mean, they're 15, 16, everybody has sex and issues and no sex and a lot of issues and a lot of sex and no issues, so whatever. And a colleague of schoolmate of his, who's called Maeve, they start to have their own sex therapy in school, because Otis, obviously as the son of his mother, has a fair amount of knowledge on the topic and has a fair amount of therapeutic abilities. Is that how you call it? Well,
sure.
I mean, he is doing a good job helping other people out with their sex problems. That's what,
for bucks deluxe.
I mean, do we ever see how much they pay them? But
a
I mean,
lot.
It's a mess. They make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But he's also helping them. So, like, people come back to them and pay them for their services. And yeah, that's basically what all the entire series is about the ins and outs, the dramas of high school kids and all the issues around sex and love and relationships and all that jazz that literally we got covered with a condom on a banana.
Yeah. I didn't even get that, but yeah.
I just looked at it from afar once Student of Ours did it.
Yeah. Honestly, most of my sex education back in the day came from this TV show. And there was like this old lady called Sue, and it was like Sex Talk with Sue. I need to get the name of it because it was amazing.
We had a magazine that was called Bravo. Oh,
that's actually what it was called.
Oh, really?
Sex Talk with Sue. Wait, where did I just see that?
When you say old lady, how old was she really?
Okay. So, sorry, it was the Sunday Night Sex Show. And it went from 1984 to 2005.
Wow.
And she was born in 1930. So she what was like, fuck? Yeah, she was like
70 already?
55 when she, oh, when it started.
Wow, so my math is so right off. Through
50. Wait. What?
1930 Wait. To 84.
So that's 54 and ended 19 years later. So 54. So 71. Yeah, 70. Man, math is so hard. 75. So she was from, my God, Amanda, your brain.
2005?
Yeah.
So she 75.
75. Yeah, so she was like pretty old. And like, and she was honestly, she was amazing. Like, she was from Toronto. And yeah, that was.
What was she talking about?
Everything. Like, you could send in questions. Like, she was basically the Otis of Toronto.
Nice. We had a similar thing in a magazine. That was a German magazine. It was called Die Bravo. They always had naked people in the Bravo, like full frontal and everything.
Of course they did. It's Austria.
It was German magazine, just saying.
Yeah,
but
thing.
Yeah. In hindsight, that's pretty wow. Anyway, and she was also, they were called Dr. Sommer, so Dr. Summer. Like the sunshine, whatever. And she was also answering questions, relationship questions and shit. I don't even know if it was initially a man or... in the end, it was a woman, but I don't think it started out with her. So obviously they switched. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can answer you can write in questions and she answered them. And I don't know about the quality of it anymore because I don't have a Bravo anymore. But that was my sex education, and when my mom tried to enlighten me, I was like, I already know everything from the Bravo. So
nice. Yeah, my parents never talked to me about any of this, really. After grade 5, you got these like little pamphlets, and that was it. Then that was my whole conversation with my parents. But yeah, Dr. Sue was like, for ages I kind of wanted to become a sex therapist because of Dr. Sue, because she was so amazing.
Nice. Is she on YouTube?
Oh, probably.
Oh, we got to find that.
Yeah, she's pretty much the best.
She's not alive still, is she?
Yep.
Wow, nice.
Yep.
Nice. Like Beate Use, she's also... Oh, no, she died already.
Yeah, so anyways, that's where, like, me and Monica learned about sex.
I mean, I don't know how kids do it these days. I know that I've been in, like, at university, we had a... we could do an additional course that we need to pay for, which is basically basic sex education. And they were doing it way better, obviously. They had like a lot of very modern methods, how to teach the kids and how to do all that. And obviously, since they came from outside, you didn't have the problem between teacher and students, which is always an issue because you don't want to, yeah, because of authority issues and shit. So that's always difficult. That's why I think schools have an issue with teaching kids properly about sex and sex education. And they were coming, you could book them and they would come to the school and have a workshop there. And then they do the program and they have like, they had hoo-ha pillows that they sew themselves. And then they had all the different various penises made out of something hard, obviously. I don't know what the word is. You know, you can model it and then it gets hard. Oh, wow. Either way, in all forms and sizes. So there were small ones and they painted it some like a bee. It was pretty funny. I really enjoyed it. But to take away the problem of this is how a penis has to look and this is how a hoo-ha has to look. So that's why they were just, yeah, that you could figure out where everything was by the way they created it. It was pretty cool. And they were pretty awesome. So, but I don't know how it works nowadays. I should probably ask my nephew. He's 18 now. He should know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea how it works. Like, I'm sure that there's some kind of sex education, maybe. But then you hear so many places are just, like, abstinence only. And, like, has sex ed actually changed at all? Or has it gotten worse? Like, is it just, like, there's no sex education? And that's where a show like this comes in. Such a powerful tool right now, because like not only do they cover, you know, heterosexual sex, like all the basics kind of stuff, they go into so much in depth about like gay sex, lesbian sex, transgender, fetish, foreplay, marital problems like intimacy problems, getting I don't know, like name something and I swear they're going to have it covered in sex education. Like,
it's like the counter product to porn, because kids learn from porn these days. It's one of the statistics kind of, and that's really not realistic sex. And it's always like everything works in porn and everything's great and everybody's enjoying it and everybody's like, woohoo, through the roof. But that's just not reality. And that show is so real. Like, you have, as you mentioned, issues with sex, issues with relationships, and not only relationships between two people, but also parental relationships and the pressure. Wow, that's so difficult to say. And the problems that you have coming out of that, also cultural issues that you have and with your sexuality. There is so much in the show. It's, you can't even.
No, it's something that you just need to watch. Like, I'm going to be honest, like, when I first put it on, when the first season came out, I was like, okay, yeah, let's watch a show, Sex Education. I have no idea what it's about, but, like, let's just put it on. And, like, within about 10 minutes, there was, like, two teenagers just doing it on the screen. And I was like, oh, okay. Because, like, I didn't really know what I was coming into, you know, I was just like, wow, that sucks. And like, it's never like nudity.
Yeah,
like it's always like there's a lot of sex, like a lot of sex. It's called Sex Education, and there is genuinely a lot of sex: masturbation, anal sex, vaginal sex. Like, there's just like any kind of sex that you can imagine, you're gonna see it in Sex Education, but not graphically.
That is true. Very aesthetic.
Yeah. So I don't know. I remember talking to one of our listeners, Flame Flash, about season one when it first came out. He was like, would my teenage daughter like it? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think she would. It's graphic, but not like nudity graphic, but it's pretty like there's a lot of sex in it. And he was like, oh, I'll let her make her own decision. And I'm like, that's the kind of parenting I like to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it is geared towards teenagers. And I think that, I don't know, their teenager life is so different from my teenager life. Yeah. And I'm like, is this what teenagers are like now? Am I out of touch? And like, yeah, I probably am a wee bit out of touch with how much sex is being had. But then I'm like, or was I just not having sex in high school and everybody else was? I don't know the answer to that question.
I mean, you never really know, do you?
No.
Even people who say they don't have, they could have been having sex for ages. And also, it doesn't really matter how much sex everybody else has.
No.
That's just, I think, I mean, only from what I seem to, like, the small bits, it's not that I get a lot of information out of my nephew or anything. There are various types of, the older you get, I think the pressure is on. Like, when you're not, when you have a lot of friends around you who have been doing it already, and some who are super braggy about it, like, I was changing girls from here and there and this and that and whatever. I can only talk about the male perspective here because my nephew's a boy, so obviously. And then you're not one of them, then I just think that the pressure really is on. So you don't want to be kind of like, what's wrong with him? But that's something that I guess has always been big part of growing up. Like, everybody else has sex already, but I don't. Then there's something wrong with me, when there is really nothing wrong with you. Do they even not have an asexual person in there as well, don't they?
Yeah. Asexual, somebody who's interested in, like, cross-dressing.
Yeah.
There's the girl with the choking fetish, or the fetish, like, to cover the person's face.
Yeah. Well, that was based on something different, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they talk about fetish, like, there's dirty talk, and like why dirty talk can empower somebody or make them feel empowered.
You see it basically, you see so many things throughout the entire show with everyone. Like, it's not only the students, it's also the teachers. It's so much, really. And we keep thinking about it. Like, oh, yes. And then there's the principal and his wife, and then there's that, and then there's that. And then there's really, it's amazing how they're doing it. And they're all super hipster. It's so cool.
Like, it's true. Like, it's filmed in Wales. Like, it's a British TV show. But so this threw me off for a very long time. Like, maybe 3 or 4 episodes of the first season. No, that's not like a very long time, but you know what I mean. I was like, what kind of school is this? Are they British? Or... but they're not wearing uniforms at school, so they must be American. But if they're American, why do they all have British accents? And I was like, really confused, like trying to figure out what was going on. Because like in Britain, you have to wear a uniform at school. Like, we don't have any schools here that you don't wear a uniform to.
I totally did never cross my mind. But I can see how you were put off by this.
I wasn't put off. I was just like...
irritated.
Okay. No, not even irritated. It's just like, where is this being filmed? Like, what kind of culture is this? Because it's very confusing. It didn't bother me. I was just like, it was something kind of in the back of my mind. Like, what?
But I like how, I mean, imagine it's filmed in Wales and there are mostly British actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. So they had to deliberately make a choice to not film it in uniforms, so that the broader audience can watch it, because I guess otherwise...
yeah, they might not have.
A lot of countries would have not been able to identify with that as much.
Yeah.
Whereas now the UK part and the UK people are out, but they're probably in it for the accent or something. I don't know. Yeah, the identification
for the sex.
Yeah, well, that.
Aren't we all?
I guess so. Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm just trying to think and figure out the words for the, like, what I want to say, because it's hard to there's just so much that I want to be like say, and it's just like, how do you just take it from my brain?
That's not how podcasts work, mate.
I know. What if we become telepathic
podcasts? Okay, so I'm gonna totally out myself here.
Okay.
I had no idea that douching was a thing. Like, seriously, no clue. I haven't watched gay porn. I'm sorry, I didn't. Probably should have. But they're probably not going to film this, show it there anyway. So for all of you listeners out there who have no idea about gay, like male gay sex, apparently what you do before you do it is wash your butt out with water. Yeah, you
do an anal douche.
Anal douche. And that's called douching. And I had no idea that this was a thing.
I knew it was a thing, but I learned a lot in that episode as well. Like, it didn't occur to me that it was, like, before every time you have sex, like anal sex.
I mean, I guess it makes sense, because otherwise it's probably going to get quite gross also health-wise.
Just a little messy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And then now it comes up everywhere I go. It's pretty interesting. I'm listening to a podcast, and now in that podcast they talk about... like, it's an offspring from the Armchair Expert podcast that I'm listening to, and it's called Jesse and Monica Love Boys, because they are both, so one is gay and she's obviously straight, but both love boys, and he's talking about his gay sex all the time, and now he's talking about douching and all the things and how it works, and I'm like, see, now I know what it is. Before, I had no idea, and now it comes up all the time.
There you go. Look at that, learning things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one of the characters has vaginismus, which is like your when your vagina is really, really tight, especially when you have like when you're nervous or excited and like you can't get anything actually into it. And she's like showing this kit that she has that's basically like a growing sizes of a vagina plug, I guess, to like stretch out the inside of your vagina. And like at the start, she's like, yep, I can only put in the first one.
Yeah.
And, like it's small. It's like the size of your pinky finger. And that's all that she can fit in.
Mm. Yeah, that was interesting as well.
Yeah.
Also how they solved the issue. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a bit of mutual masturbation? But aside from the sex, I love the way that this show approaches and talks about like real issues that teenagers face. Like pressure from your parents to be on a star athlete, and like just getting so much pressure from your parents, and like you're not allowed to not do this, and like self-harm and being a child to drug addict parents, and how that impacts your life, and sexual assault is another big theme in the show, especially season two. It's like an underlying theme through the whole season.
That was so great that you can see the process of her in the series. I don't know how much we want to spoiler it, but I mean it was out in January, so
we can talk vaguely enough.
Basically, there was an incident on a bus with one of the girls in the school, and first of all, she was totally brushing it off, but one of the schoolmates of her made her go to the police and made her talk about it. And you can see at first she was all super nonchalant about it, like, it's not, nothing happened, and it's not gonna help me if I go to the police or do something about it, because whatever, it's fine, it's just my pants. And then you can see how the trauma hit her, basically, like with more time has passed that she couldn't go on the bus anymore, she couldn't drive anymore, and how they solved it together as a group of girls. And when they talked about about their issues that they were all having with things like this. So I think that just makes it really clear also for young kids, or for the target audience are teenagers, to watch it. And let's be honest, probably for everyone who's going to watch it, that we're not talking, that Me Too is not something that was invented out of someone was bored and had nothing better to do with their day, but that it's a real issue that women face every day.
Yeah, like it's probably just the fact that in this show, a group of high school students, like 16-year-olds, and there must have been, I think, 8 of them in this scene, and they all shared a moment of sexual assault. And I mean, they're not alone. I don't think that there's very few women in this world who have not experienced some kind of unwanted sexual advances or assault or something. And it does leave emotional and mental scars in some way. But yeah, I love what you said, Monica, about the way that the show showed the progression of it, like from brushing it off to being truly traumatized.
I think it's proof to see that trauma is not something that you have immediately, you never know what outcome something has. Just because somebody's not reacting in the moment does not mean that they won't be affected ever at all. And that's basically the same goes for everything you say. Like, if you treat someone harshly and if you're rude to someone and if you call someone names, just because they seem to not give a shit in the moment doesn't mean they don't go home crying and don't are not traumatized because of it. Though it's obviously a way lower bar than I'm talking, but I think it's a way lower bar that I'm talking about right now. Though I think that it's just this place, how stuff like that generally can work, and that there is no recipe on what to tick off. So yeah, something bad happens and the person needs to freak out immediately, and you need to immediately see how it goes. Some people didn't even see that there was something wrong with her for a very long time. And only a really good friend realized that she was not driving the bus anymore after a while. While in school she was all yay and all is great.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Gillian Anderson for a second?
Oh, she's just a goddess. But yes, we can absolutely talk about her.
I didn't recognize her at first.
Yeah, she's rocking the short hair, isn't she? She looks great.
I mean, not because of the short hair. First of all, because she's blonde. And I mainly have her in my head as Scully, which is redheaded. And then she was so skinny, like compared to the X-Files, I found.
Yeah, I think she, I don't know. I don't know. I don't like to talk about, you know, people's weights. I think it's not relevant to the quality of their acting.
No, it's not relevant to the quality of her acting because she's an amazing actress, but she looks unhealthy. That's why I'm thinking.
I don't think so. And even like as a, as basically the most important grown up in this show, like she's Otis's mom. She's a sex therapist. She talks about sex really openly with her child and eventually with the school, gets herself in a little bit of trouble. Because yeah,
well, she herself hasn't done anything wrong in the series. No. She's somebody gets her into trouble basically because yeah.
Well, we're not going to spoil that, but there's a little bit of trouble. And then like even issues for adults, like it's not just, the show isn't just for children. Like it's not just for, not, or not children. It's not for children. For teenagers. Do not let your children watch this. Sarah. Teenagers, yes. Children, no. But things that happen with Gillian Anderson's character are like relationships with your ex-husband and the father of your child and like the dynamics of that, especially when he's kind of an asshole and having like an inability to form a true romantic bond with another man, and then trying to navigate a relationship, like an actual real relationship with somebody that you actually love, like you do fall in love, and like having your little jerk of a child be a little jerk to that guy, and like trying to figure out that, and then like getting a diagnosis of perimenopause and having to talk about like and like thinking about how that's going to start impacting your life, because that's a real ride from what I hear.
The menopause.
Yeah, well, perimenopause.
I was just looking up, and it's for 16 plus, by the way. So, there yes, no children.
Yeah.
At least that's what Netflix says.
Yeah. So, like, Gillian Anderson's character, just, she goes through a lot. And it's a...
But I think it also shows that just because it seems like you're a super awesome parent doesn't mean that the kids naturally experience it in the same way. Like, because not even though she wants to talk about it or everything all the time, obviously her son doesn't enjoy that. And it's just the relationship between a parent and the kid is always different than what the outside perceives it to be. Like, even though the kids are like, your mother is so amazing, she talks about sex all the time. But then it's like, yeah, but you as a kid, you really don't want that all the time. So
yeah, you don't want your parents to talk about sex to you all the time.
Yeah.
Especially not like the intimate parts. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Always easier to get this information from like not your folks.
I don't know. I mean, yes and no. I can't quite put my finger on it. I think not trying to educate your kids about what's going on is definitely not helpful. In this case scenario, it was obviously she wanted to talk about it all the time and have all the therapeutic discussions with her son all the time, which is like, I think you can feel like a super guinea pig in that moment, which he apparently did, and that's why he was acting out the way he was as well. And it was basically, yeah, whatever, no spoilers. But yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about something else.
Oh, okay.
I just got really excited about the character of Lily, who's like a total weird, amazing character. And she is like super into writing space alien sexy fanfic. And like acting out her space alien sexy fanfic fantasies. And I'm like, I just love her so much. She's such a weirdo. And I just think she's great.
But she's so weird. It would be like, she's so fucking weird, but she's still super embraced. I mean, she, as you said, she's writing that super sexy alien fanfic, and then she puts a play together, and everybody in the school is participating in that super sexy weirdo ass play. So it's not like they're bullying her out of that, or that she's an outsider, but she's just part of all the madness that's going on in the school, which is definitely something that it could be a testament on, that you don't need to exclude people because of whatever things they like.
For sure. And I think she's really relatable as a character as well, because there are girls, like high school girls, that write erotic fanfic, and
that's why you have such a draw to her.
I was a teenager when I wrote my erotic fanfic.
You weren't.
Actually, I was.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking.
Like, I was like 18, 19, 20. Yeah. Like, so late teens. But yeah. But just like, just to see somebody that is just not shy at all about sharing their weird fantasies is really cool. I liked it a lot. And I think it's going to be relatable for a lot of kids. I mean, just look at Tumblr.
Just look at Tumblr. If I would get it, I probably would. But I don't.
Yeah, I don't. I don't either. Thanks. I'll just be with Pinterest and their great clips from Tumblr, which I'm like, how do you see these? I don't get it. Anyways, this isn't a conversation about Tumblr. But, and I think we need to talk about Adam and Eric.
Yeah.
So Adam is a bully who bullies Eric mercilessly. Eric has been out and gay, openly gay, since he was 13 years old. And he is nothing short of flamboyant in his dressing. He's like always in these printed colorful suits, not just like a shirt, friends. No, like full on suits. Like he is, it's like he raided RuPaul's closet or something. I don't know. Well, maybe not with the dresses. I don't know. It's just like the most flamboyant outfits ever. And
yeah, he's amazing. He is so out.
Super out.
Yeah.
Which is really refreshing to see in like somebody who is so unapologetically themselves in high school.
Yeah.
Like it's super cool. But Adam treats him like shit and just bullies him mercilessly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting, shall we go into a little bit of spoilers here? Because I feel like after this, I want to talk about their relationship.
In generally already also happened in season one, I think.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine.
Okay. We're just going to talk like a little bit spoilers though, and like not super spoilers, but kind of spoilers.
Also January.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it until now, then your problem, but yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of season one, we see Adam and Eric in detention together. And Adam ends up giving Eric a blowjob.
Yep.
Which was a bit surprising because...
For like, Eric, obviously, very much so.
Yeah. And like as the audience as well, it was like, didn't actually see that coming. It was like, this guy is just an absolute asshole to Eric. And all of a sudden, okay, that's some blowjobs happening there. And this starts them off on this weird kind of relationship, but not like they've got like a really strained kind of what the fuck's going on. Adam gets shipped off to military school because he's not just an asshole to Eric. That's like main bully territory, but also Adam's just kind of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when you really look at what's going on in Adam's life, can you blame him? Like his dad's the principal and his dad's like the most sexually repressed and emotionally repressed man I've ever had like seen in my life.
Yeah,
like,
very authoritarian as well.
Authoritarian, yeah. And just, he's like the epitome of toxic masculinity.
I think he's you can see just very well that it doesn't mean that because bullies are bullies, doesn't mostly means that they're doing something else when they bully people. It's like, not that they're just, they decided they had a great life and then they decided I'm going to be an asshole to everyone, but the opposite is actually true, that they have their very own very intensive struggles, and I think that's what the show really shows very well as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eric and Adam.
Eric and Adam. So through season two, you see Adam's character a lot more and like in a different light. Like he's not any longer just the bully and the class asshole. Like he's... you see the background, you see his family life, you see why he's like this, and that he really does just want to make his parents happy, but he gets like stonewalled by his dad, and his mom is a bit preoccupied with the fact that her marriage is loveless. Mm. And
I mean, there is zero communication in that house about anything. So yeah, that's
awful.
So that's really also why I think that the mom would, but she couldn't, because there is no culture of communication in the household whatsoever. So it's routines, it's orders, it's that's what you got to do. And when you fall out of that very narrow frame, then that's when you get punished, you get chipped away, and you get basically also treated like shit.
So Adam, he's been kicked out of school by his dad. He's been kicked out of military school because he caught two of the students being gay together, and they managed to plant pot on him, and he got kicked out of that. So he's back home. His dad's an asshole, and he's got himself a job at the corner store, which he was doing really well at. Mm-hmm. And then the key didn't work in the door, and the place got robbed overnight, and he got fired. And you just feel really bad for Adam. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just trying so hard to be a good person, and it just, like, shit's just getting thrown in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got this whole, like, he's trying to be with Eric, which is weird.
He's also not openly out, so.
Yeah, so it's like midnight strolls and kisses and smashing things, and it's really awkward. And, like, Eric's like, what's going on? Why are you like this?
Mm.
And then Eric gets himself a boyfriend, Rashim, who's the new exchange student from France, who also gives a lesson on douching. So very important.
Very experienced. He's a good gay comparison to Adam.
Yeah. And, like, he saw Eric. And Eric isn't the only openly gay person in the school, like the only openly gay man in the school, or teenage boy in the school. But Rashim wanted Eric.
Mm-hmm.
So they became a couple, and it's really cute. But, like, Rashim is so serious, and Eric is so not.
Yeah.
Like, he's just super flamboyant into musicals. He plays the French horn, or the French trombone. Horn. No, it's not trombone. It's a French horn. Well,
he's just called him trombone.
Yeah. Adam called him tromboner.
Tromboner.
Because he thinks it was funny.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it kind of is.
I mean, in afterthought, it's especially funny, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Eric ends up making a choice, and he says to Adam, like, you tormented me for years. I can't be seen. Like, I can't be with you. It's awful. Like, it's not right, because you were so horrible to me for so long. And so he's, like, happy with Rashim. And then at the end, Adam's mom, after she's kicked out Adam's dad, and Adam's like, but, you know, can't we, like, let dad back in, like, and be together again? And his mom was just like, no, like, we have lived in a loveless house. And she said, and I wrote it down because we're going to use it for a quote because it was so fucking amazing. She said, you have to let the people know that you love them. And Adam's like, why? And she goes, because you're alive.
Hmm.
And I was like, yeah. So Adam is like, holy shit, I need to let Eric know that I love him. And he runs to school. Like, everybody runs in this show. It's amazing. And he runs to school, and he, like, jumps on the stage, and he's like,
there was interrupts theater the school in, play. Yeah, there was the play was in motion already for a while.
Yeah, it was like the climax of the school play, this, like,
literally
Romeo and Juliet in a sex space odyssey, which, like, it's just like, how? This is amazing. But what? And he professes his love to Eric on the stage, and Eric is just like,
I mean, yeah, okay. He's so cute. He didn't say a lot. What he said was, I want to hold hands with you, which is the cutest thing I've ever heard.
It's so cute.
And yeah, and then they ran off together.
Hold my hand.
Yeah.
So Eric's like, yes. And then they go and they finish the play. But poor Rashim gets up, and, like, he's there, and he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And he, like, just.
Yeah.
My heart broke for Rashim because I'm like, if that was not fair. Or Rahim, sorry. It was not fair to him. But I get it in a way, like, the decision that Eric made, because Adam made his heart sing, not Rahim.
Yeah. Curious how that's going to go.
Yeah.
And during somewhere in between those lines, Adam came out as bisexual to someone. Yeah. I don't remember to who, but he told someone that he's bi.
I think it was Eric, wasn't it?
Don't remember.
It could have been Ola.
Maybe.
And oh, his friendship with Ola, and she was like, I love you. Mm. And he was like, I don't think of you that way. And she was just like, but you're my friend. I love you as a friend. And Adam was just like, I've never had a friend before. Just like grabs her in a hug. And I'm like, this poor boy, like he just wants some love, and he doesn't know what to do with it because he's in such a loveless house. Yeah. So many things. Just even just with him. And as much as I didn't like him in season one, I think he might have been my favorite character progression over series two.
Yeah, I think you can just see so much behind the scenes in that show. Like I wonder often if people always would see it without paying attention, because obviously we pay more attention to things like this and are more aware and stuff like this happens, or if it's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But maybe by addressing everything in general, like emotionally, physically, relationship-wise, culturally, there are so many things that are just addressed on the go, so probably that's going to help normalize a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's another character, Viv, who's like the smartest girl in school, and she has decided that she doesn't actually want friends. She wants to save making friends until she's in college or university, and she just wants to focus on her studies and become smarter, and like anything else is just a distraction. And that is until she gets asked to tutor Jackson, the star of the swim team, and they start having this like weird friendship that's like based on how did it start? What was she giving him? Was it tutoring, and he was teaching her how to flirt?
Yeah, because she was into one of the guys in the science thing that she was at, or whatever they were doing. So they were
the quiz team.
What?
The quiz team.
Yeah, and she was into him, but she couldn't talk when she was around him because he was just so awesome in her eyes. And Jackson tried to help her with that in exchange for tutoring, I guess.
Or no, it was in exchange for teaching or helping him learn the lines of his play.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she was already his tutor, and then they made that exchange. And their relationship has like evolved to be such a true friendship. And she like told the guy that she had a thing for that like really he was not that cool, and everybody, he's into one thing, like he can do one thing well, and that's a Rubik's cube. And she was like, flip's sake, everybody knows that. And she just like brushed him off. This is after like she has to go and have a masturbation break in the bathroom thinking about him like before they go on stage, like that's so good. But
I don't know, I'm not sure if the Jackson and Viv situation is only that. Like, from her side, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's definitely a friendship there. I think they've both grown so much as characters. Like, he was just the star athlete until he's really not into being the star athlete.
I think what you see with Jackson is that he's actually, even though he seems like the star athlete, he actually as a person is not at all. Like he does so many things that's not, that star athletes usually as a stereotype don't do. Like, he's dating Maeve, who's like in school hierarchy not on top of his, on his level where the school perceives him to be, but he doesn't give a shit. So, and he falls for Maeve and he wants to be with her, and he makes so many decisions that is not something that usually because the school athletes are often like lifted to the very top of the food chain when it comes to I don't know, popularity and hierarchy and whatever in the school system. But he seems like he does, but then he does so many things that are not at all like that, which I think also opens up the perception that they're all just about the fame and the glory and the being amazing and popular and all that jazz. He just wants to do what makes him happy, and that's Maeve for a while, and then that's the acting for a while, which is also he gets a lot of shit for, and still fights it because he loves it, he loves to do it. And
yeah, and there's a lot of pressure from his parents to, which are two women, lesbian parents mm-hmm. as well. So it's just like normalizing various family mm-hmm. types as well, which is so good. But he's getting a lot of pressure from one of his moms about swimming mm-hmm. because turns out that like that's where she feels like she can connect with him the most, except all he feels is just this pressure to be something that he's not and something for her. And he ends up like smashing his hand on purpose in between some free weights or like weights on a weight machine and severely injuring his hand because the pressure to be this perfect poster child for the swim team and for his parents got to be too much. Mm-hmm. And when eventually he shares this with his friend Viv that like that's what he did, she was like, that's not okay, Jackson, like you need to seek help. And he was like, got really defensive and was like, no, I don't, and ended his friendship with Viv, who Viv then went and told his parents what happened. And so they talk like openly about therapy and going on the right like antidepressants to try to, you know, medicine for your mental health, like normalizing that side of everything as well. Like, I cannot praise this show enough for what it's doing.
That is very true.
All while all these teenagers are having sex.
There is so much in this show. It's hard to not identify in one way or the other, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's also the reason why it's so popular, because I don't know, people started watching it and you could see it everywhere on social media. It was like, oh, sex education is the best. It's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. If you haven't watched Sex Education and you're listening to this show, like, stop what you're doing and just binge it this weekend.
Yeah.
There's, what, 16 episodes, I think?
Yep.
It's not a lot. It's totally doable in one weekend. Just, like, seriously, stop what you're doing.
Right now.
Finish listening to this episode. Stop what you're doing and binge all 16 episodes because just you won't regret it.
Yep. That's it.
That's it. That's it. I cannot express my love enough for this show.
I think we don't have to add anything more to that.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.